The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticise. You are listening to ACH. I'm Andy, your host. And on today's instalment, I'm talking to you, originally recorded and broadcast on Saturday, July the 26th, 2025, at achshow.com. I will be presenting a show entitled "Remember When I Said Celebrity Deaths Come in Threes?" And the time is 8:26 a.m. here in London, England, making it 3:26 over on the East Coast of America, and coming up to 12:30 on the West Coast of America. Welcome to wherever you are around the world. And today's show title, "Remember When I Said Celebrity Deaths Come in Threes?" relates to the passing of Cleo Lane yesterday, who, along with Hulk Hogan and Ozzy Osbourne, proves that unfortunate theory, which I'm sure you are also aware of. Anyway, I wish Cleo, Hulk and Ozzy all the best all the best in whatever awaits them, along with my good friend Chris Peed, who Paul English sadly announced the passing of a couple of days ago in his most recent show, which you can find at paulenglishlive.com. Some celebrity birthdays as well today. The title of today's show was originally going to be Helen Mirren's 80th birthday, until I got the news about Cleo Lane, and also Liz Truss. It's her 50th birthday. So, yeah, there you go. Okay, so here's what I found of interest in the news since yesterday's bonus show. Okay, let me line this up. So here we are. Okay, Jeremy Corbyn. This is more for people outside of the UK. Many in the UK will be aware of it, but people outside the UK will know Jeremy Corbyn was the leader of the Labour Party before Keir Starmer. He was very popular amongst Labour people, a lot more popular than Keir Starmer is, put it that way. But things were said about Jeremy Corbyn. I'm not saying I'm a Jeremy Corbyn fan, but if you want to see how he was ousted, it's a very interesting story, especially when you see who he was replaced by. But he's one of these members of Parliament that he's held his seat, his constituency, for so long that they're no longer voting for the party, they're voting for the candidate. Does that make sense? So I think he's had the same seat in London, same constituency he's held in London since certainly the 80s, if not, you know, I think probably sometime in the 80s he got it, held on to it ever since. So there you go. And so when he got kicked out the Labour Party, which he did, he still ran as an independent. Now, something similar happened years ago, that when they announced that they were going to have a London mayor, Ken Livingston, who used to run something called the Greater London Council, I think, was it? GLC, it was known as. He wanted to be the Labour choice, and he said, "Look, I'm the obvious choice because I used to run this London thing before it was disbanded by Thatcher, and the mayor's going to be a similar role." And the Labour Party went with a guy called Frank Dobson, who was quite an amusing character, but basically because they felt that Ken Livingstone was too left-wing, had too much baggage, stuff like that. So Livingstone ran as an independent, okay? And he won. And he couldn't really believe how he won, but he won. And it was something to do with the way that the mayoral elections work, is that you get to pick a first choice and a second choice. And it's all, I'm not going to get in the minutiae of it, I don't vote at all these days. Basically, you're only allowed then to have two terms, and then you had to go. And he won his two terms, and the person who succeeded him was Boris Johnson. Obviously from the opposite party, the Conservatives. But I digress as usual, however I hope it was of interest, my digression. What Jeremy Corbyn's done, he was an independent, but he's now set up a new political party with another MP who was a Labour Party MP, but she quit rather than being kicked out. Her name's Zara Sultana, and she's from Coventry, which is more up north. They've got a website, yourparty.uk. So you can look it up for yourself if you were. But apparently the name's not chosen. The website's yourparty.uk, but apparently it's not called Your Party. They haven't decided on the name yet. So it's a little bit of a slapdash launch if you don't even know what the party's called. But there you go. However, Jeremy Corbyn claims that 200,000 people have already signed up to it in just one day. Even though it's got no name. So the new political party fronted by Corbyn and Sultana, the party with no name. Maybe that would have been a better website title for now. Oh, how about that? Okay, let's move on to the next article or bit of news. A lot of talk about asylum seekers in the UK living at these hotels. A lot of talk about shoplifting in the UK that I've touched upon. Well, it's interesting, isn't it, when two stories cross over and combine is probably a better word. Because it turns out, according to the Daily Mail, that asylum seekers, well, I'll just read you their headline. Asylum seekers staying in taxpayer-funded hotels are caught shoplifting thousands of pounds worth of designer gear from West End stores. Now, what a lot of people would want to happen to these people, if you said it, if people were honest, if you said it, you could probably get arrested for it, okay? And it's nothing new, all right? So what you see, and you've seen this a lot, they'll talk about boats and different things. And what should they do? What should they do? What do you think they should do? Hoping that they'll get a sort of response that could, you know, prompt a potential legal issue for the person. It wouldn't have done years ago, but that's why they kind of narrow the Overton window constantly about regarding free speech. And that's why you either have free speech or you don't. You don't have, well, this is hate speech, this bit. No. Because what they do is that they move everything that they don't want you to be able to talk about into that hate speech category. So any country with any hate speech laws whatsoever doesn't have free speech. Okay? It's as simple as that. But I recorded tomorrow's traditional Christian message yesterday. Okay, because as you know, if you listen to yesterday's show, I didn't even think I'd be able to get it done before I went out because I had an early start today, but fortunately I have. It's the part of the Parables of Jesus Christ series. And one of Jesus Christ's enemies, it's the story that many of you will remember, where they say, you know, are you above Caesar? Essentially, I'm paraphrasing. And it actually says Jesus Christ knew they were trying to trick him. What they were trying to do, you see, is they were hoping he would say, well, look, you know, I'm the Son of God. Obviously, I'm above Caesar. Caesar's just a man. And then they'd go scurrying off to Caesar and say, oh, look. He said he's above you. He said he's above you. Kill him. Of course, they got him killed in the end anyway. But that was just the first attempt. But it actually says in that passage, because it's in three books of the Bible, the Gospels are Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, and they're basically their accounts of their time spent with Jesus Christ. And so some events are just recorded in one of their books, but some events are recorded in all four. Very rare, that. But this one's recorded in three, which is also the second most rare. See what I mean? And so it says that he knew they were trying to trick him, and that's when he said, "Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and unto God what is God's." And they were most disappointed with that, because they weren't able to cause him problems and hopefully, you know, get Caesar to what? Bump him off because he's a traitor. In the same way that if they could get somebody to express their real fit opinions about people coming into the country, well, look at someone like Lucy Connolly. Now, that's not her real feelings. That was her losing her temper. But no allowance is made for her losing her temper, so no allowance will be made for anybody else's feelings in a heated issue. That's what I was, you know, getting at there. But you can see how difficult it is to even touch on this subject in the UK, and that's why it's so important for you in the United States that while you still have free speech, that you take advantage of that, because we've lost it here. It's very sad. You would think that, I mean, when certain things from the actual Bible you can't quote, with our Christian history, you could argue that we are the centre of Christianity here in the UK when you look at our history, things like that. And you go back to things like Christian crusades and that, whether you agree with them or disagree with them, essentially, we're told, it might have been lies in some cases, but we're told that it was the British that went all around the world with their crusades trying to protect Christianity. You know, what an about face we've done today, if that indeed history that we were taught was indeed true. Okay, so let's move on to the apparently the Kremlin is saying that the UK is trying to turn Trump against Putin, and if that continues, then they're risking World War III. And this was off Well, it's another Daily Mail article. I'm going to read it. I can't grab bits out. It's very badly written, as many of their articles are. Britain is risking a nuclear Third World War by triggering provocations against Russia and seeking to pit Donald Trump against Vladimir Putin, the Kremlin is alleging. The paranoid claim comes as Moscow is staging its largest naval war games this week. Blah, 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 blah. Russia's bizarre doomsday radio supposedly linked to the nuclear residence. I mean, where's the quote? That's what I want. I want the quote. How do you know that Putin is, that Russia's alleging that Britain's starting World War III? There must be some person who said something that you've got that information from, and that should be right near the top and the discussion below that. But they can't write articles, the Daily Mail, unfortunately. So, yeah, I can't see anything in here to back up that headline, and I'm not going to go through the top with Daily Mail articles as well, as they're like little books, a lot of them. They just go on and on and on and on and on and on and on. They're so boring, rather than something quick, get to the point and go. Okay, let's move on to an interesting story, which I was going to mention, and I forgot. And it was off odditycentral.com, and that's a website that I strongly urge you to visit if you fancy something completely different from mainstream, completely different from the independent sort of stuff I cover here as well. Go to odditycentral.com, because there was a story on there that the Daily Mail have picked up, but they've not given any credit to it. It's not sourced from there, because I read this on there. But basically, well, actually, I'm not going to go there. I'm going to go to the Oddity Central site and take it from there, because it is quite, it was up at the top, so it should only be second or third down by now. Oh, fourth, fifth down. Here it is. Thai man dies after surviving on beer alone for over a month. By Spooky on July the 22nd, 2025. A man in Rayong, Thailand, died surrounded by over 100 empty beer bottles after shunning food and living on the alcoholic drink alone, i.e. beer, for over a month. Last week, rescue workers from the Siam Rayong Foundation were called to a house in the Ben Chang district of Rayong to help a man who had reportedly suffered a seizure and later become unconscious. Unfortunately, by the time they arrived on the scene, the patient had already passed away. He was identified as 44-year-old Thawasik Nam Wongsa, a divorced local man and a father to a 16-year-old boy. According to the teenager, Nam Wazonga had been drinking only beer for over a month, and when he came home from school one day, he found him having a seizure in his bed, surrounded by empty beer bottles. And they say over 100, but if you look at the photo on this website, I'd say there's several hundred. Over 100 in a month, you know, that's like three a day, right? So it's not going to kill you, is it? Let's be quite frank. But I think it was hundreds, shall we say, and obviously without eating. Stuff like that is going to cause a problem. There were comments in the Daily Mail article on this about Guinness. I remember people saying that Guinness is so, it's like a food. You can sort of live on it and stuff like that. It just, I mean, it tastes so bloody horrible, I wouldn't be able to anyway, but there you go, that's just my opinion. A lot of people would say the same about the beer I drink, Carlsberg, and it's just artificial, it's crap, it's only 3.4%, etc, 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 but I like that, and I don't like Guinness. There you go. Let's go over to something I picked up just before I went to bed yesterday. This is a BBC article. UN Human Rights Chief criticises UK Palestine action ban. The UK government's ban on Palestine action is a disturbing misuse of counter-terrorism legislation, the United Nations Human Rights Chief has warned. Volker Turk urged the government to lift the ban on the group, calling it disproportionate and unnecessary. Earlier this month, Palestine action was proscribed by the UK government under the Terrorism Act 2000 after activists claimed responsibility for spraying two military aircraft with red paint, causing an estimated £7 million worth of damage. The decision is currently being challenged in the High Court with a judgment due at the end of the month. The Home Office has been contacted for a comment. Now, going back to this, they've sprayed their aircraft with red paint, £7 million worth of damage. I mean, who are they getting to do that? Did they get that quote off? Do you think if they got someone from like a body shop to go over there and have a look at it, they'd get a cheaper quote than 7 million? And you might say, yeah, but they haven't got security clearance, stuff like that. Well, neither did these people who got in. And you might dismiss that as a flippant remark, but if they had any interest in security, these people wouldn't have got in, would they? Make sense? Anyway, going back to the article. The decision is currently being challenged in the High Court with a judgment due at the end of the month. The Home Office has been contacted for comment. Well, again, what they do in this country when they prescribe a political party, they've done the same with Hamas, they did the same with a group they said was right-wing called National Action, that they basically say, if you express any support for this group that we've identified as terrorists, you know, it's their decision, they've identified it, then we'll put you in jail for 14 years. And then shortly thereafter, they'll say, oh, our democratic right to free speech. It's just an absolute joke. And the whole idea is, if you, again, it goes back to free speech. Now, we have laws against things like trying to encourage violence against people. Okay. But they've been stretched out now. So, you know, if in the past, how many arguments have you heard when you're growing up, I'm going to kill him, something like that? It's all nonsense. It's not going to happen, but it's said in the heat of the moment because somebody's annoyed. But now they would take something like that and, and it goes back for me. I remember years ago, there was some kid, he made some joke, like he was checking his bags into Yeah, going through the scanning machine at the airport. And he made some joke, oh, there's a bomb in that. Be careful, there's a bomb in that. Oh, that's, oh, you think that's funny? Oh, let's, and they, you know, this guy, they did a real number on him. Because, you see, the other thing it goes back to, and you say, well, that's, you shouldn't make jokes about stuff like that. Well, it was obviously a joke, whether it's bad taste or not. You know, you look at the guy, you assess the person. Does this look like some suicide bomber who's just made this joke, stuff like that? Just some guy falling about, okay? But it also takes us back to how they really don't like being laughed at. So when they bring all these security checks in and stuff like that, to basically, what would be easier? Just get in there, walking on, getting on the plane, off you go. Going to all these scanners, stuff like that, it's a hassle. You prefer, if you have the choice, would you prefer to do it or not? Well, obviously you prefer not to do it, because it's another process that would be easier not to have to go through. And so they do it because it causes you problems. And they get most upset if these problems that they're causing you, instead of causing you anxiety and wish we could just get through this, you make a joke of it because they do not like being laughed at. You mustn't laugh at us. No, no, no. We're the powers that should not be. You mustn't laugh at us. And that's the way that these things work. So it was interesting to see how the United Nations have done, you know, released a statement like that. But you know my view. Full free speech. The laws are in the Bible for me. And yes, there is a law against blasphemy. You can say, well, I'm not being honest because I said, well, blasphemy isn't free speech if you're a Christian. And what I mean by that is the actual definition of blasphemy I actually go through in my book In the Name of Yahweh. And it's more than just saying, oh God, all right? It's encouraging and promoting a deep hatred of God. That's what blasphemy is. And when you look at the book of Deuteronomy, it says, if you follow my laws, you will get my blessings, but if you don't, you will get my curses. And I find it, so obviously if somebody is going to be doing blasphemy and trying to get others to do it too, then that's going to go against you, that you're not following God's laws. So the whole country, your whole nation is going to receive the curses, because as Dr. Peter Hammond says, God judges nations. And that's why we're in the mess that we are today in the West, because very cunningly, the enemy first took the prayer out of schools, all this sort of stuff they did before they did anything else. They didn't promote all the body modification first, did they? No, 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 no. They had a little plan, and it was first, we have to get God's protection away from these people. And so they did that first before they did anything else, because they needed to remove God's protection first, so that when they promoted all these lifestyles and choices, behaviours that God may not be particularly keen on, they're not going to get the protection from God, because they've already been moved away from God. And that was done throughout the West. So there you go. Okay, I think that's my last article. So let's go over to see what's happening in the mainstream media right now. And for that, we go to apnews.com, Associated Press, top story, judge blocks Trump's birthright citizenship restrictions in third ruling since high court decision. That's the top story. Have a look at reuters.com. Hold on a second. Clearing my throat there, a little drink of water. Talked about, give you the Reuters headline. Thai-Cambodian fighting extends into third day despite ceasefire calls. So there's another, what was it in the Bible? In the last days there'll be wars and rumours of wars. So who'd heard of the Thais and Thailand and Cambodia going at it 2-3 days ago? It's just something that suddenly happened that I've not heard of before. Okay, let's go over to BBC News. Let's look at their top 10 stories at the moment. So I just have to scroll down for those. I'll probably get some pop up in a moment trying to get me to subscribe to the BBC, but as I'm not an idiot, I choose not to do so. Number 10, Southwest flight plummets, injuring flight attendants. I think Southwest is an American airline, as I recall. 9, Starmer suggests UK will play role in new Gaza aid airdrops. Now, these images of kids looking very much like the kids that we witnessed in the 80s in Ethiopia, the Bob Geldof Live Aid, all that thing. They're starting to look like that, some of these pictures coming out of Gaza. So it's really starting to, the governments are having to say, look, we can't turn a blind eye to this any longer. It's not that they care about the kids, that'd be silly. It's that they care about how they're being perceived. And it'd be interesting to see how this plays out, won't it? Because, we'll see, won't we? Number 8, UK condemns Hong Kong cash offer for help in arresting activists. Number 7, why we need to talk about periods, breasts and injuries in women's sports. Number 6, school leavers losing their lives for Russia in Putin's war with Ukraine. Number 5, Greg Wallace sorry but says he's not a groper. Number 4, Trump says great to be in Scotland as he lands for 4-day trip. I think I said 5-day yesterday, didn't I? So I was a day out. Number 3, don't look away and prostate patients ignored by NHS. That's the What the Papers Say article. Number 2, world's thirst for matcha dries up global supplies. I don't know what matcha is. It's a match with an A on the end. Let me click on it. Ugh, it looks awful. Something green. Matcha mania is sweeping the world. The bright green Japanese tea can be found in everything from Starbucks lattes in the UK to Krispy Kreme donuts in Singapore. I do like a Krispy Kreme donut now and then, but they're so sugary and they cost a bomb, like over £2 for a single donut. Whenever I had a birthday at the office I last worked at, when you bring in the treats for everybody, I'd always get a box of Krispy Kreme donuts because they were they were sort of the most expensive, but not that expensive, if it makes sense. I only had to buy for, say, 10 people in my team. So you get a box, I think, for about £20, because when you buy 12 together, it goes down a bit, doesn't it? But there you go. I might have to have a Krispy Kreme donut soon. But I've never liked tea. I remember I used to go into my grandmother's house and have a cup of tea. The flavour of it, I just don't like it. I have a coffee every morning when I wake up with 5 spoons of sugar in it. It's an instant coffee. I buy something called Nescafe Gold Blend, which has a nice flavour. And, I suppose, if I'm being honest, if I went somewhere and got a coffee out of a place like Starbucks or Costa Coffee, something like that, I'd have to say, all right, it does taste better, done properly with the beans and through the proper machine and stuff like that. But it doesn't taste that much better for me to go out, make a special trip over there to get it, rather than have my instant coffee here. And I wouldn't buy a coffee machine. Because I did have one years ago, and the faffing around with filters and the mess it makes, and having to dump the stuff you've drained it through and all that sort of nonsense. Sometimes convenience is good, but at the same time, what was the saying? Those who trade their liberty for security deserve neither, and I think there's something to do with convenience as well. But there you go. Okay, so that was number 2. Let's go to number 1. My dad started spying on my mum, the drugs causing sexual urges. I have absolutely no idea what that is. And, he was on a drug for Parkinson's disease called Ropinrol. Not Rohypnol, Ropinrol. Apparently caused some sort of odd behaviour. I'll give you the headline again if you choose to read about it. I don't. My dad started spying on my mum, the drugs causing sexual urges. And that's a BBC. That's their most read story at the moment. There you go. Okay, so let's have a look at the Daily Mail. And there's something that I want to do on the Daily Mail, because I'm just going to scroll down. Because when Cleo Lane passed away yesterday, I found out about it on the BBC. She was 97 years old. She was a dame as well, which I think means that she's allowed to sit in the House of Lords. I think it's the female equivalent of a lord, a dame. I was thinking, well, I don't know if... let me just have a look. Can a dame sit in the House of Lords? Sorry, I know this is irritating when someone's typing. And female hereditary peers were... that doesn't answer my question. So, yeah. But... oh, it says here, a sir or dame is still commoner and cannot sit in the Lords, but can be a member of the House of Lords if duly elected. So, presumably a dame is equivalent to a sir, and it's a lady that's equivalent to a lord who would be allowed to sit in the House of Lords. So, yeah, I got that the wrong way round. Okay. Because what I was looking for yesterday, one thing that's worth going for the Daily Mail, I was criticising it for its overlong stories, stuff like that. Well, sometimes you want a longer story, don't you, if you're interested in the subject. So I saw it on the BBC first, and I thought, well, let's see where it is on the Daily Mail website and also what they're saying about it. And I went on there, and I scrolled down, and I scrolled down, and there was nowhere. The story wasn't even anywhere. And it was one of the top stories on the BBC. And, I mean, this woman was very famous. I think she, not just in the UK, but she won a Grammy as well in America. She was mixed race, which is something that the mainstream media generally champion in this country. And I couldn't understand why it wasn't on the Daily Mail website. So I'm going to scroll down now, see if I can see it. 1, 2, 3, 4. These are the number of articles. I'm doing them in number order. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Article 10 is still about Ozzy Osbourne. 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Then you've got the male shopping section, so it's not deemed newsworthy enough to be above that. No. I think I've gone through about 30 articles and I can't see anything about Cleo Lane. So, there you go. I find that really odd why that's not on there. Maybe she was had some views that they didn't like or something like that, because it doesn't make any sense to me why there wouldn't be a story on it. I'm nearly halfway down the page now. And before, if there is one on there, then Marcus Rashford, 27, is back with his ex-fiancée Lucia, 26, 2 years after split, as she joins him in Barcelona to help him settle after Manchester United exit. So if they have done a story on Cleo Lane, that is deemed to be more newsworthy. There you go. Okay, so now we've done the mainstream news we generally look at, so let's go over to the independent news, and we'll start off with RT.com. I think the interesting thing here is to see if there is any, among their top articles, is there anything about Russia challenging the UK over there, trying to get a rift between Trump and Putin. So I'm just can't see. Well, let me just run through these headlines for you. A third of UK, and the top one is, a third of UK MPs urge Starmer to recognise Palestine. The EU hits Russia with limp sanctions pack. Israel has to get rid of Hamas, according to Trump. Zelensky broke the American controls and now faces the consequences. Trump wants new nuclear talks with Russia. Ukrainians making Russian more common in EU state. German armed forces look to teens to close recruitment gap. Turkey's mediation isn't about peace, it's about power. Trump says Putin-Zelensky meeting is going to happen. Israel just drew a new map without saying it out loud. Trump may fast-track sanctions on Russia. The train to Kashmir is finally real and it's stunning. And Jewish groups pursue new compensation over Nazi linked Swiss bank accounts. There, the top stories on RT. So there's nothing there about the story I referenced in the Daily Mail that I should have done a little bit more research on, apologies for that, which indicated that Russia were threatening World War III because Britain was going to, you know, encourage a rift between, Britain is encouraging a rift between Putin and Trump and Putin, blah, 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 blah. What drew my attention to it is I've said that, sadly for me, if Russia was going to hit something as an initial target to try and get the West to stop doing what it doesn't want it doing, then unfortunately the UK is probably the target they would hit, because it's an island, so it's not going to affect all the other countries in the West. It's sort of on its own. So whatever they do, they could keep it contained within that area and then say, you know, this is what's going to happen to the rest of you if you carry on doing what you're doing that we don't like. So that's why articles such as that, I tend to think that we'd be the first target. And also we're a lot closer than, say, the United States. And you could argue that obviously Germany has been using harsh rhetoric towards Russia. But you would have to say that UK is probably, you know, since Trump got back in, the UK is probably what Russia would regard as the main offender anyway, because they still get some encouraging comments out of Trump now and then for Putin or for Russia, but you don't get any out of the UK. Okay, so let's go over to Wentz.com. And Jeff Wentz, in the first hour of his show yesterday, had Dave Gahari on. So that will be an interesting show. Let's scroll down to the headline news. Russia pushes for Israel to be separated from humanity. That's according to Mike Walsh, who was a regular on this show. His website is michaelwalshwriter.com. That's his new website. A two-state solution is the only way to settle the Middle East conflict, the Kremlin has said. They want the creation of a Palestinian state alongside the State of Israel, Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov said on Friday. Okay, there you go. Let's go back to Rents. That's his top story. Hegseth is facing calls from his own staff at the Pentagon to be removed as Secretary of Defense. Stephen Miller announces the number of missing kids that Trader Joe trafficked is actually 450,000. Trump, Obama has immunity, but the people around him don't. There you go. Okay, let's go over to HalTurnerRadioShow.com. Have a quick look at the clock. Ooh, longer than I thought today. 38 minutes. Extreme heat warnings in New York City and New Jersey. I looked at that yesterday because that was when it went up, the top article on HalTurnerRadioShow.com. And I think they're saying it could go up to 106 Fahrenheit. So I hope just take precautions if you are in that area. But you're going to know, I imagine, about that long before I just mentioned it. Okay. EarthNewspaper.com, Mark R. Else's website. Thank Mark for helping with this show in his promotion of it. It's very kind of him to post links to it and things like that, especially amongst all the other interesting information that he posts up there. So just scrolling down here. There's a video, Wake Up Call by Steve Cutts. It's a Rumble video. It's just under 6 minutes. It's called, say, Wake Up Call. Not sure what that is, but when I saw that, I mentioned my friend Pastor Steve when I was talking about, he had a show on a radio network, I forget the name of it now, and it was called Wake Up Call, and he also did Word for Word. So Word for Word was his show where he went through the entire Bible from start to finish, from Genesis to Revelation, went through it all. And that was several hundred shows. And Wake Up Call was a different show that he did. I think I might still have some of them around. I'm not sure. I'll have to have a look. But yeah, that's what reminded me. And sadly, Pastor Steve had a stroke, and kind of, I don't know if anyone's still in touch with him. So anyway, let's move on to, I'll just scroll down a little bit more. The book of the day, I think this is from yesterday's post, The Green Book. The Green Book is a short book written in a simple, understandable style, with many memorable slogans setting out the political philosophy of the former Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi. The book was first published in 1975. It was intended to be required reading for all Libyans. Now, I've never heard of that. Obviously, we've all heard of Gaddafi, but yeah, it's a short book, so I'm sure you'd be able to find that, you know, online if you're interested in some of the slogans that made up Gaddafi's political philosophy. A lot of people refer to Gaddafi today, so that's something you might want to look into. And we'll finish off, as always, with the Before It's News Top 10. So just loading up now. BeforeIt'sNews.com. So, number 10. Went up 6 hours ago, 99 people viewing. Estrianon, a time of dire straits, 7/26/25. The list of who was arrested and executed at Gitmo. Dear, oh dear, are they still flogging that dead horse? Number 9. Went up a day ago, 100 people viewing. Benjamin Fulford and David Nino Rodriguez, Wano Savin. What's coming is worse than world. Whatever. Headline runs out. Number 8, 12 up 11 hours ago, 110 people viewing. You Are the Observer and The Observed. Thoth's Full Explanation, whoever Thoth is. Number 7, went up 4 hours ago, 112 people viewing. Ismail Perez and Michael Jaco. Shocking Intel 7/26/25. Gitmo executes Obama and Biden clone. Number 6, well, 8 hours ago, 124 people viewing. Benjamin Fulford, weekly update, 7/25/25. Number 5, well, 4 hours ago, 134 people viewing. Michael Jaco, emergency broadcast, 7/26/25. Martial law declared in hundreds of US cities. Number 4, well, 11 hours ago, 141 people viewing. And we know, 7/25/25, Trump takes action immediately, deep state dismantled. And there's the pop-up asking me to join Before It's News, which I do not wish to do. Number 3, went up 11 hours ago, 258 people viewing. WikiLeaks just exposed there's something massive on the moon. They aren't telling you, 2025. Number 2, went up 11 hours ago, 293 people viewing. The world is about to be changed forever. Prime Directives, Council of Radiant Light 2025. And number 1, went up 11 hours ago, 412 people viewing. Kerry Cassidy and David Sarida. Huge Intel July 25 bombshell. Something big is coming. So there you go, folks. I want to thank all of you for joining me on episode 245 of I'm Talking To You, entitled Remember When I Said Celebrity Deaths Come in Threes. I hope this is the start of a wonderful weekend for you all. Traditional Christian message tomorrow, then Peter on Tuesday. And until then, folks, thank you for listening, and bye for now.